Good, Trace. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the March 25th meeting of the Sussex County Council. And first is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda. I'd remind members to pull your microphones close so folks can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, any questions about the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll take a vote. Entertain a motion to agenda?
So moved.
Okay, motion, Mr. Riley. Second, McCarron. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Approval of the minutes of March 11th, 2025 meeting. Any questions on that? Any deletions or additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We do have one letter from Autism Delaware thanking council for their generous donation. That is all.
Okay. All right. I guess we're moving along pretty quick. Now's the time for public comment. Any person making a comment, have 3 minutes to comment on the matters which clearly is within the jurisdiction of the county council. When the green light comes on, you'll have 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you'll have 1 minute. And when the red light comes on, we'll ask you to wrap up your comment. And first is Alan Roth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Alan Roth. I live in Lewis. A couple of months ago, I attended a meeting at the Five Points Working Group sponsored by DelDOT, at which various road projects throughout Sussex County were discussed. During that meeting, Councilmember Riley complained that DelDOT wasn't moving fast enough on some projects. One of the reasons he gave was that some of those areas were, quote, under a lot of development pressure, unquote. I found his complaint rather ironic, since so much of that development pressure was blessed right here in this building, either by this council or by the Planning and Zoning Commission. When that meeting ended, I tried taking a moment to point out to Councilmember Riley my frustration with his remarks. What I got back was a history of zoning in Sussex dating back to the 1970s and a comment that I didn't know the law in Delaware. Well, I know that the members of this body for the last several decades have had the power to change county law and at least do some of the more creative things that Kent and Newcastle counties have done, but that hasn't happened. And while I commend you for finally getting around to starting that process, I hope you'll move quickly and not dawdle around. In the meantime, I like a challenge. So I've begun studying up, reading the statutes and case law, including some case law as far back as 1986 that reversed your rezoning of a parcel from medium density residential to general commercial. So you've got my attention now, and you'll hear from me later today about a couple of your upcoming zoning applications. But I hope as council members, you would all think twice about insulting the intelligence of your constituents who understand very well that it's mostly this body, even if not most of its current members, that created the conditions that put us in the fix we're in today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is anyone in the audience who would like to comment? Yes, ma'am. I have to ask you to sign in, please. You got one, okay. Oh, no worries. Please give your name and address.
Susan Petsy Rosenblum, Aintree Drive in Lewis. I wasn't planning on speaking today, but I rarely have the opportunity to attend these council meetings, so I thought I should take this opportunity to say something. Normally, I would get up here to voice my concerns, but today I just want to thank council and county staff for all the work they've done since the start of this year to respond to the concerns of their constituents. It does seem like you hit the ground running this year with meetings with state planning, DelDOT, the call for a moratorium, and the formation of the land use reform group. So it's all very encouraging, and I just wanted to thank you. And so I'll be looking forward to seeing all those new ordinances that will protect more trees and wetlands and farmland and wildlife and the safety of the residents of Sussex County. And I just thought of this morning. I just want to add one more thing. I think the whole planning and zoning approval process should be looked at. I don't know how this can be done, but I think county council should be more involved in the planning and zoning approval process in some way. I know this isn't just my idea. I think I even heard Jill Hicks may have mentioned something similar. And I know P&Z must approve applications that follow the county code because no one wants to get sued. But I believe the state plus reports and recommendations should have a greater impact on those decisions. Maybe you can start out just by having a council member attend the P&Z meetings and review the state plus reports before a decision is made on whether to approve an application or not. It's just a suggestion. I know it's not simple to change the process, and there's all kinds of legalities, but I hope you'll consider it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Operator, would you check online, please, see if anybody wants to comment?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Okay. At this time, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Mr. Lawson, County Administrator.
Thank you. County Administrator's report for March 25th. Item one, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the following projects have received substantial completion. Silverwood Villas, Phase 2B, effective March 6th, and Patriots Glen, Phase 1E, effective March 10th. Item two, the deadline to submit your application to appeal Sussex County property tax assessment is March 31st. To request an appeal hearing, property owners should submit an application to the Sussex County Assessment Division before the deadline. For an application and instructions, visit Sussex County's reassessment page at sussexcountyde.gov/reassessment and click on the Board of Assessment Review link. Item three, the Land Use Reform Working Group will hold its first meeting on Thursday, March 27th at 10 a.m. at the County's Public Safety Complex at 21911 Rudder Lane. This is the kickoff meeting to a series of planned workshops with selected stakeholders from a variety of disciplines. County Council requested the working group to review land use trends in Sussex County and make recommendations to the Council for future consideration. Information regarding the meetings can be found at sussexcountyde.gov. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Mr. Robbie Murray. Director of Public Safety.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of Council. I come before you today to follow up on an RFP that closed yesterday regarding cardiac monitors. Our cardiac monitors are currently the LifePak 15. Those monitors have reached the end of their serviceable life. Our plan is to purchase new cardiac monitors over two fiscal years, fiscal year 25, and then following with fiscal year 26. The RFP process, again, concluded yesterday. Two bids were received. Those proposals were evaluated based on the monitor specifications, committee feedback, an ergonomics assessment, price, and then warranty. After thorough evaluation and weighing of the two proposals, Stryker received the highest score. I do have a motion when you're ready.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorize the Director of Public Safety to negotiate and execute a contract with Stryker, the highest scoring vendor, to purchase 47 cardiac monitors.
Okay, pleasure of Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Ms. Gornabaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gornabaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rachel Lynch, County Librarian.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council.
Good morning.
I am here this morning to go over the results of the Bookmobile RFP and possible award of contract. I do have a brief presentation for you just to give you a little bit of background. That's okay. The bookmobile service has been offered in Sussex County since 1912. It was originally provided by the Delaware State Library Commission, and then in 1977, Sussex County purchased its first bookmobile, and the Sussex County bookmobile has been a cherished feature of the Department of Libraries ever since. It serves as the sole library resource for three schools in Sussex County: the Sussex County Elementary School, the Lighthouse Christian School, and the Indian River Early Learning Center, allowing over 300 students the ability to browse and select their own books, discover the joy of reading, and learn the responsibility of caring for items and returning them in a timely fashion. The bookmobile also visits local daycare facilities, nursing homes, and low-income housing areas, providing reader's advisory services and materials to those where travel to a library building may be difficult. Additionally, there are three public stops where library buildings are not in proximity, allowing the public to check out, return, and reserve materials. The bookmobile presence is requested for library events and other community happenings. It is, after all, a 33-foot traveling billboard. Every year, the bookmobile staff participate in the Seaford School District's Read and Feed program, following the food trucks and allowing the children to choose a free book. The current vehicle, as mentioned, is a 33-foot Thompson-built bus with a diesel engine and requires a CDL to drive, limiting its availability. Built in 1998 and is showing its wear and has several ongoing maintenance issues. It has become almost impossible to find replacement parts for the 27-year-old vehicle. On June 18, 2024, County Council approved the FY25 budget, which included funds for a new bookmobile. On February 7, 2025, a request for proposals was published, ending on February 28th with the announcement of the applicants. Of the seven bids received, five were disqualified due to the completion date. The remaining two were reviewed by the head mechanic and fleet manager, as well as the assistant county librarian and county librarian, and rated on a scale for best value. The option recommended by all members of the reviewing committee team is a 24-foot step van vehicle on a Ford chassis with a gas engine, does not require a CDL to drive. It will have an 800-pound wheelchair lift, double doors to allow an easier flow of traffic for school classes, an LED-lit retractable awning for community events, and adjustable shelving to allow the staff to customize the interior based on need. It is also under budget with a guaranteed 90-day delivery date. So I have a few pictures here just to show you the comparison.
Big difference.
That's the inside of the bookmobile looking towards the driver's seat. And this is a view towards the back. If you'll notice on the proposed new vehicle, the shelving on the bottom is book carts that lock into place. This is going to be a great feature for the staff because currently their method of removing and adding books to the bookmobile is filling bags of books from inside the building, carrying them out either via dolly or by hand, climbing the stairs to get onto the old bookmobile, pulling the old books off, putting the new books on. With the new vehicle, they'll be able to use the wheel lift to wheel the empty book carts out, fill it with the books in proper Dewey Decimal order, wheel them back into the new vehicle and lock them into place. So not only does it save time and effort, it also saves on their knees and rotator cuffs.
Okay.
So I do have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Sussex County Department of Libraries, award the contract for the purchase of the new bookmobile to Tesco Specialty Services for $309,115, to be completed and in possession of Sussex County by June 30th, 2025.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Ms. Cornerbaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Cornerbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mark Parker.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. President, council members. A couple quick items for me this morning. First one in your packet for me is the New Marydale's Tanglewood Oak Acres project, one of our sewer district expansion projects down in the Miller Creek area of Frankfurt. So the memo in your packet outlines the rather exhaustive timeline for the project. Started back in 08 with the request from the community. This particular project got hit by the economic downturns, a few other items, and it was delayed. So fast forward to the present, we did get final design, bidding, and contract award across the finish line last year. Notice to proceed was issued in October of 24. Construction activity started up about a month later, and we've had some adverse weather conditions over the winter, as we all know. So there were some impacts to construction progression on this and other projects. After some back and forth with the contractor, we're ultimately recommending an acceptance of 3 days total for adverse weather delays to the contract. So it would be a no cost change order to the project, but just adding 3 days to the contract. So just read my motion.
Yes, please.
It's okay. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number one be approved for joint contracts S19-19 and S22-24, increasing the contract time from 240 calendar days to 243 calendar days with no additional cost to the contract.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Yep, second item pertains, last time we'll see you on our paramedic station 103. Newly built and occupied as of last month down in Millsboro. We had determined, the engineering department, that we reached substantial completion in early February, and then we issued a final punch list 3 days later. Just a few items that still needed correction or completion. So with the majority of those items addressed, and in collaboration with the EMS and the IT teams, we identified February 26th as the logistical move-in date. Had a couple snafus with the town of Millsboro with respect to issuance of a certificate of occupancy, which was needed. But we were able to, let's just say, negotiate with them. We've got a temporary CO in place, and all went as planned with the move-in on the date. And we ultimately got the permanent CO by the town on March 12th, earlier this month. On the change order side, there were a number of contingency items built into the contract. Award that were intended to account for unforeseen conditions encountered at the site, and we ended up using none of those during construction. It was a clean site for us, which is good. Therefore, all the items get returned to the contract in the form of a credit, and that's all part of the balancing change order number five, which represents a credit in the amount of $17,200. Like to get money back.
Very nice.
Into the budget. So just a quick note on the construction budget. So the original project award was in the amount of $1,812,700. We had a total of five change orders over the approximate 12-month duration of the project. Some results in credits, some results in additional charges. With the last balancing change order, the total budget for the project sits at $1,815,809. So that's only a $3,100 increase on an almost $2 million construction budget. And the project had no major scoping changes. So in terms of percentage, that's 0.17% increase. So we feel that's pretty good in the change management and cost control bucket. So I think that went pretty well.
Very good.
If council will indulge me, before I read my motion, we have a couple of folks here I'd like to recognize for a job well done.
Absolutely.
I think sitting in the back, you raise your hand. So. First of all, Thomas Van Dyke, he was our full-time RPR for the project, resident project representative, fancy name for inspection. So in addition to Thomas's contributions throughout the design phase, and there were a lot of them, he deserves many kudos on managing the entire construction phase with a tight iron fist, and I mean like really tight. Ask the contractor, it was extremely tight. Prompt and accurate communications, detailed inspection oversight, proactive problem solving, I think that was one of the very strong suits, and collaboration with the many stakeholders we had, and we had a lot of them, including, of course, the general contractor and the many subcontractors running around on the site. So we even managed to make DelDOT happy with the roadway construction out that was part of the project.
And very good.
That may have been a first. I don't know. So a little extra credit. And oh, by the way, the budget control that I mentioned earlier, that would not have been possible without Thomas on the clock. So good job, Thomas.
Good job, Thomas.
Very good.
Second recognition is for Kristen McAfee, right back at Thomas. So logistic manager from our EMS team, as we all know. Kristen was a little bit challenged with taking over the project during late in the design phase with the scheduled retirement of another colleague in the EMS department. We still miss him greatly. But fortunately, she had the benefit of planned boots on the ground training. So she was ready to hit the ground running, and really it was a very seamless transition to pull Kristen into the process. So she attended all critical construction and logistical meetings and provided valuable input throughout. I've heard some say that perhaps her greatest achievement might have been her very meticulous selection of colors for the carpet and the walls, all the walls, all different colors, and the living quarters. I mean, it looks really good. And a guy couldn't do that, by the way, especially Thomas. So good job, Kristen. So she also provided a critical planning role for the full transition of the EMS team into the new building. And that wasn't an easy lift. There was a lot of programming and planning that went in to make that go off smoothly. So simply put, Kristen, we could have not have delivered the building without you. So good job.
Thank both of you for your hard work and attention to details.
So I would say we're going to propose the same team in the very near future for our next station. So unless there's any questions, I'll just read my motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that balancing change order number 5 be approved for contract C2118, paramedic station 103, decreasing the overall contract amount by $17,200, and final project closeout be granted.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Greenbaum. That's rare, isn't it?
It's a pleasure to do it.
Sorry.
Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Greenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Ashman. Good morning.
I have a couple in there for this afternoon, too, so I got to get the right one. This morning, we're here to request for the permission to prepare and post notices for an expansion of the Unified Sanitary Sewer District for the Dagsboro-Frankfort area. The engineering department received a request from Plitco Engineering on behalf of their clients, DuPont Properties, LLC, owners and developers of parcels 233, 16-22, 24, and 25 in the county's Tier 2 service area. The firm was informed that the parcels were not contiguous to our existing district, and they would need to receive request letters for our annexation for the intervening parcels. They did provide us signed letters from the owners of the parcels intervening for 244, 240, and 240.01, making the project contiguous to the existing district. And the project will be responsible for extending the existing sewer south along 113, to their project and providing connection points for those parcels agreeing to be annexed along with their project parcels. And they will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. And we would like to prepare and post notices for the public hearing.
Okay, do you have a motion?
I do.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Millsboro Martial Arts expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include 6 parcels along Route 113, as presented on March 25th, 2025.
Okay, pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Greenbaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Greenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Wright?
Yes.
And I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
All right, we'll tee up another. This is also a proposed expansion, permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing. This one is in the Miller Creek area of our Unified Sanitary Sewer District, and we've received a request from Beacon Engineering on behalf of their client, the Evergreen Companies, owners of parcel 134-19-24, and adjacent to our Miller Creek area. This project is to be known as Crescent Place, and the parcels are along Central Avenue and proposed for 47 single-family lots plus a clubhouse. Projects will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. And I have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Crescent Place expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcel 134-19-24 as presented on March 25th, 2025.
There we go. Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Medlars.
Can we get just a little bit, when I'm looking at these, without going back and looking at the exact location, you have to look it up by parcel number. Would it be possible to give a nearby street address just to, you can look at it, that way we could look at it on the map and then maybe also look at the state strategies investment level in that area. Both of these seem to be around the towns and incorporated areas, but that way it's a little bit easier to look up exactly where these properties are. We're annexing into the sewer area, and you know, that certainly might want to.
We can give you that in. We can give you that in the packet, so you have it.
Maybe in the packet. That way, because right now, it really the reference point is the parcel number, or going and Googling the roads and seeing where you know that intersection actually is. Is the closest reference point when we're looking at the actual location, just for ease of us, just to.
Well, and the public too, because I think they're looking at this stuff.
You mean they don't have the parcel numbers memorized?
just a thought, because we,
good idea. We appreciate your input. If it helps you identify where they're at, that's perfect.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Medlars. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, and good morning, council members. So we got four items before you. Some of them are more interesting than others. Some are pretty mundane. So the first one is really pretty boring. It's the closeout of the Pintail Point project. It took a long time. There were delays. You had delay change orders. There were issues with the equipment, et cetera. So making a long story short, we do have the punch list was completed. The pump station was started up. Everything has been working for the last month and a half. So we are recommending to have the balancing change order approved, which gives us a credit. Granting of substantial completion. So this is one of our projects, which is on the artesian infrastructure. You know, it's a county sewer district, just like artesian, our wastewater partner. They have projects which flow to us, and we have projects which flow to them. That happens to be one of the projects we did, which flows to the artesian infrastructure. And this only happens in your district.
Great.
Because that's the area which is, you know, where we have interconnections where both parties work. On the south side, being south of the Indian River, that doesn't exist. So everything is exclusive to us, even if it's artesian development. It still flows to us. It gets treated differently under the agreement. Mm-hmm. So I do have a recommended motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number 2 for contract S21-16 Pintail Point be approved, decreasing the contract amount by $13,404 and granting substantial completion as of March 1, 2025, with any held retainage released in accordance with the contract documents, contingent upon the DNREC concurrence.
That's two decreases in one day.
So moved.
Okay. Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Ms. Grunewald.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next one is very different. I try to combine several things in that particular memo, and that has to do with our engineering team, our partner being, in this case, Lewis Board of Public Works, our facility, which is going to be the target facility for the next years of improvements, and the legacy, which is the biosolids. So, and the electrical project, which deals with the upgrade of the treatment plant, as well as the biosolids, as well as the aeration moving around. So, can you imagine that for over 30 years, all biosolids which arrived at this facility are sitting in this lagoon?
What?
In the primary treatment lagoon.
That's not a good thought.
Wow, 30 years, that's a lot.
So for a good part of my tenure, we were really trying to work on how to do this, how we can pull this off from a sequencing standpoint, what has to be done. So that's the electrical project plays into this. And that was sort of the last one. There's two companies, national companies, which do this work. So this wasn't even advertised. This was we contacted both. We had a number of site meetings that were follow-up. Then we drafted the RFP, request for proposals. We got the proposals back in. We evaluated the proposals. And that's what you see here is the end result. So, it's a clear price advantage to go with the Denali. And so we had even now follow-ups as of late last week, where we may come back to you with a change order to go to generators, because the two reduced breakers which we were implementing, initially we looked at a 2,000 amp breaker to run this, but they said, no, we're better off with a series of smaller breakers. We thought maybe we can get them quicker, but we can't, but we want to get the work started, so the bulk of the removal, which means the one where the lagoon is essentially empty and the potential for odors is the highest. By the way, there's an odor reduction and suppression component in this package. So we wanted that to happen in the wintertime. In order to make that happen, it looks like we're going to have to go to generation. And so there's still a few moving parts, but we need to get this awarded and get this moving and get them on contract. And hopefully this time next year, it's empty. And that lagoon will remain empty, because this is where the design for the new facility is going to happen. And I'm going to be back a few more times as we work our way through it with our partner, the Lewis Board of Public Works. As a matter of fact, I will be appearing before the board tomorrow night on that particular issue on the transmission end. So we're actively pursuing this, and I expect to see you at the board meeting.
Yes, sir.
I want to be there.
I hope I see you at the board meeting. No, I won't. Okay. I do have
out of town.
I do have a suggested motion for the Denali work.
Thank you. Please read your motion.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that County Council approve an agreement in the standard Sussex County format with the Denali Corporation in the amount of $3,850,800 for the sludge removal at the Wolf Neck Regional Wastewater Facility.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Ms. Quarterbaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Quarterbaum?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're moving on to the more mundane. After 5 years, we are granting substantial completion at the South Coastal facility for the second component, that being electrical. So this was probably the most complex project we worked through. And no, it did not go as smoothly as the paramedic station. There were many hurdles, which you can imagine working in a 40-plus-year-old facility. So we discovered a lot of things. We, I think, bettered a lot of things. But anyway, so we are at a point where we are ready to make a recommendation. You can read through all of this. So I will no longer mention all this history. So as we're going forward, we will only talk about Inland Bays. Because just a quick reminder, the two contractors have been chosen for the expedited Inland Bays process implementation, and that's the next piece. And the piece for that, the reason for that is the permitting delays. So we are really behind the eight ball. We need treatment capacity now, and we really need to deliver it. So you already approved a number of inland base change order with the same contracting team, but we're done in South Coast. We're walking away. We're finished. So we have a motion for you.
Please read your motion.
BPMA is based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that final balance and change order number 29 for contract C-19-17 South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility Treatment Process Upgrade Number 3 Electrical Construction be approved for a decrease of $26,420, granting a substantial completion as of March 21, and a reduction in retainage to a nominal $35,000 as part of the final payment.
Thank you. Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Ms. Gorenbaum. Question on the motion. Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gorenbaum.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
So now jumping ahead to the inland bays, where we're implementing this in a series of change orders under the South Coastal Project. That's why both the general contractor and the electrical contractor have a nominal retainage remaining in that account for no other reason but to keep that contract open. So we had already a number of change orders on the general side. We had the tank award, which was the key piece of the loop project. You had that a few weeks ago. This one has to do with the aeration system increase. So currently we have two aeration basins. The equipment there is 30 years old. No, it's not 30 years, 20 plus years old. It was installed early 2000s. And so this is the aeration system upgrade, which is in the center lagoons, where there's nothing in there right now. They're full of water, and hopefully not too much else. And so there's two companies which provide equipment for these. So we already discussed this with the general and the electrical contractor that we would be purchasing this equipment. So as you can see later on, requests for proposals for both of these will include installation of this equipment. But there's no reason to pay the markup on it in order for us to save some money, so we are able to move these things around. In conjunction with Ms. Jennings, she and I looked this over and we decided that a direct purchase would be in the county's best interest. So this is a direct purchase request. However, we looked at the cost proposals which were developed. The RFPs were developed by GHD and the engineering department. The cost proposals came back. We asked for a second round of cost proposals because the current provider of the equipment, being Parkson Corporation, does not have the best track record with Sussex County. And they do not have the best track record with Kent County either. So I have personal experience trying to deal with them on the, let's say, maintenance side. When we need their technicians to come, when we need their programmers to get involved, when we ask for their support, they're not showing up. How about that?
I got you.
So when we looked at this, we carefully structured the request around holding monies back until the full completion and providing technical support, committed crew hours during the installation, startup, and programming phases. And Parkson was willfully short on round one to meet the requested requirements. And on round two, at the best I can say, they offered nothing in addition. And while BioWorks was pretty good on round one, they reduced their price in round two and upped the crew hours for the all three phases, committed crew hours. So they will be on site, you know, even if we don't run into an issue at day one, they will still stay for the full week. So these are now committed crews. They're going to be there for the key areas, key times we want them there. Plus they agreed to holding 5% for 2 years while we're operating the system in comparison to full payment to Parkson before we even started it up. So yes, it's an extra $300,000, but we feel we get more services. So once you add them in, we have more robust equipment. They have a maintenance function which is ingenious. You can actually float individual diffusers to the top for maintenance and replacement of the diffuser material, which has a patent, and Parks and Rec cannot offer that. So that's a function we currently don't have. So for the reasons stated, I have a motion recommending we work with BioWorks.
Okay, please read your motion.
And I want to be on the record why we're recommending that.
Okay.
BB moves based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council approve a purchase order to BioWorks in the amount of $1,397,640 for the conversion and upgrade of the aeration system as part of the Inland Bays Expansion Project.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So in these, we've read two right now. That one, the first one I think was desludging, and then this is an aeration project. And I just, it's often mentioned that these costs are come out of the sewer district, not out of the county budget. So I just so I'm sure, is there money set aside in these sewer districts for contingencies or these capital increases? Because one was over $3 million. This is 1.8. And even in the large sewer districts, that's a fair amount of money. So is this money that's been put aside for the eventual, this is no surprise, we have to desludge a lagoon. I'm going to guess that you also knew this project was coming. So has the money been put aside, or is this something that gets divided amongst the ratepayers going forward?
Councilman, the five-year capital plan has both of these as capital projects identified.
Okay.
So the upgrade project at Inland Bays is on the books in various components. For example, the loop is on the books as a standalone. The transmission upgrade is, the treatment upgrade is a standalone component, and the expansion of the spray areas is a. So all these are five-year capital projects on the Inland Bays side. On the Wolf Neck side, we did have a budget placeholder. I had estimated a few years ago that sludge removal would cost us $5 million. So we're not there yet, because you remember, this is based on assumed sludge numbers. We do have a dry tonnage, so there may be adjustments in the end. There will be still some issues with the generation, so it looks like we're going to bring this in under $5 million, but it is a capital item which has been anticipated and has been carried for a while.
And I just want to be clear, this is not like, approving these will not cause a sudden increase to the ratepayers in these sewer districts. These are planned maintenance items.
Affirmative. That is okay. 100% correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. So, gave your motion.
I make a motion to approve. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Pleasure of council. Okay. Motion, Mr. McCarron.
And I'll second it.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Okay. Next, we have old business.
Old business.
Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have just one item of old business today, which is conditional use number 2458, filed on behalf of O'Neill's Solar LLC. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held at the council's meeting of March 4th, after which it was deferred for further consideration. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar array to be located on a portion of land lying in, being in Broad Creek 100, containing 49.7 acres, more or less, lying on the north side of O'Neill's Road, which is Sussex County Route 485, and County Council deferred for further consideration.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Mr. President,
we need to read the short title?
We need to read the short
title. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We need to read the short title first. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar array to be located on a portion of land, portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 49.7 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 8, with conditions 9A through I. And it is my understanding there may be a motion made for one of these amendments or conditions.
Correct. Mr. President, I'd like to make an amendment to condition C which cites the requirement for tree buffer on the north and east side, and I'd like to add requirement for a tree buffer on the south and west side, encompassing all sides.
So your proposed amendment would be to delete the language, the common boundary with the residential properties along the northern boundary of the site and the eastern, and then after the word boundary, put lines of the site. So it would then read all required, we'll just do the second sentence that I'll read because the other sentences are remaining the same. So it'd be, there shall be a landscape buffer that is at least 50 feet wide along the along all sides, all boundaries of the site.
Okay, is that your motion or your amendment?
That
correct. Yep, that covers it.
We'll take a we'll take the vote on the amendment only right now. So, pleasure of council, Mr. Lloyd.
Has there been a second yet? I'm sorry,
no.
I didn't hear.
No, we need a second on that. Second, Mr. McCarron. Any question on the motion or on the amendment? Take the vote, Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Greenbaum.
Yes.
Ms. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, the amendment is carried.
Okay, and now I'll read the short title as amended.
Yes, sir.
An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar array to be located on a portion of a certain parcel of land lying in Broad Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 49.7 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 8, with condition 9A through I as amended by this council.
Pleasure of council. Mr. Lloyd?
So move for adoption as amended?
Yes.
That's correct. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Question on the motion. And we'll take the vote. Mr. Lloyd?
Based on the testimony given at the public hearing and the recommendation by planning and zoning, I vote yes with the amendment.
Mr. McCarron?
Based upon the testimony heard and the recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Ms. Greenbaum.
Based on the testimony heard and the reasons given by planning and zoning with the amendment, I vote yes.
Mr. Riley.
I also vote yes as amended with consideration of the testimony and planning and zoning's recommendation.
I agree with planning and zoning and the amendment. I also will vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is grant request. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Milton Historical Society is requesting $3,000 for their When Trains Arrive exhibit. Last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $1,000 for their shipbuilding museum from Mrs. Green. Mr. McCarron placed on the agenda.
I'll do $500. That is a neat train that runs through there, and do a lot of activities over there. But funds are limited, so
I'll match his 500. I second the motion.
Okay.
Make it 1,000.
We have a motion and a second. Motion by Mr. McCarron. Second, Mr. Riley, to grant $1,000 to the Milton Historical Society. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Birnbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, and the second one is Mariner Middle School is requesting $1,000 for their National Junior Honor Society 2025. The last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $1,500 for their BPA program from Mrs. Green. Mr. McCarron placed on the agenda.
Once again, I think it's important, but I'm going to have to go with 500. Budgetary concerns, so I'll do 500.
What was the request? I forgot.
$1,000.
Okay. I'll do the other 500.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay, so you have a motion, and I'll second that. Can I second it?
Second.
Okay, second, Mr. Riley, to give $1,000 to Mariner Middle School. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Greenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Nobody told me I didn't have that much, so. Just a little bit.
Maybe the end.
Okay, next is introduction of proposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have seven today. The first one is in your district, Mr. President, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 60.84 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one is also in your district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, 106 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 23.90 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one is Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a fence installation business with outside storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.00 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one is also Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for the preparation, processing, and storage of material in relation to an existing borrow pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsburg 100, Sussex County, containing 82.32 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Riley introduces.
The next one is also Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an amendment of conditions of approval for conditional use number 2290, that was ordinance number 2849, to amend condition A relating to building size and use to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 7.12 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Riley introduces it.
The next one is Councilwoman Greenbaum's district, Gruenbaum's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for a campground for the unhoused to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 7.16 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
I'm introducing it.
And the last one is in Mr. Lloyd's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar energy facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 33.69 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Mr. Lloyd introduces it.
And that is all.
Thank you very much. Council member comments. Council member comments. Anyone?
If I may, I just want to reiterate, Mr. Lawson, you said that the work group, land use work group, plans to meet 5 times between now and July?
I actually think it's more than that. I don't have it memorized, but I think it's 6 or 7.
No problem. Just for transparency and for the public to understand that, the work group is scheduled from now until July with roughly 5+ meetings. So
that's Thank it. You. All right. We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Question on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, we're now in executive session.